The ship leading the Carisian line, the one flying the command streamer of an admiral, disappeared behind a sudden wall of flame-cored smoke. Jonaire ducked instinctively, and something large, iron, and fast-moving whizzed viciously over his head. More iron crashed into the face of his battery, and he heard someone scream. And then, as if the first broadside had been a signal, which it undoubtedly had been, every other ship in that line seemed to spurt fire and smoke virtually simultaneously. The concussion of that many heavy cannon firing that closely together was indescribable. The impact of that many tons of iron was terrifying. The battery's protective stonework was the better part of 2 centuries old. It had originally been intended to protect catapults and ballistae from similar engines and archery before cannon had even been thought of. Its replacement with more modern fortifications had been discussed off and on for decades, but the expense would have been enormous, and the dozens of guns behind the stonework had been judged sufficient for security's sake. But that had been before those dozens of guns found themselves opposed to hundreds of guns, each of which fired far more rapidly than the defensive batteries could possibly hope to match. The 23 ships in Admiral Rockpoint's line mounted over 1,300 guns. Almost 700 of them could be brought to bear on the harbor defenses simultaneously, and Rockpoint had planned his approach carefully. Although Farade's defensive batteries mounted a combined grand total of over 150 guns, only 30 of them would bear on his line as he approached from one end of the waterfront's fortifications. In the first 6 minutes of the engagement, each of those 30 guns fired once. In return for their 30-round shot, Rockpoint's line fired almost 3,000 back. The aged stonework, never intended to withstand that sort of punishment, didn't simply crumble. Huge chunks of stone and mortar flew under the savage impact of better than 40 tons of iron, and rock dust erupted from the fortification's face like a second fog of gun smoke. And even though the guns' individual embrasures were relatively small targets, obscured by the flying rock dust and the firing ship's own powder smoke, there was no way they could all be missed in that torrent of Carisian fire. Jonaire crouched behind the battlements, his mind cringing as the incredible bellow of the Carisian artillery seemed to consume the world. Smoke and dust were everywhere, catching at his throat, choking him. The solid stone under his feet quivered, vibrating like a frightened child as the brutal storm of iron scourged it. He couldn't even hear his own guns firing, assuming they were, but he heard the shrill shrieks as a gun less than 30 yards from him took a direct hit. The Carisian round shot came in just below the muzzle, striking the solid timber of the piece's carriage, and the entire gun flew into the air. The tube separated entirely from the carriage, most of which disintegrated into splinters as long as a man's arm. At least a third of the crew was killed outright when the round shot continued on its way, plowing right through their midst. Most of the others were crushed to death when the 10-foot gun tube came smashing down across them once more. The major stared at the tangled, shattered, bloody wreckage which had been 18 human beings only an instant before. More Carisian fire slammed into his position again and again. The outer face of the battery wall literally began to disintegrate with the third salvo, and as the range dropped, at least a half dozen of the Carisians began firing grapeshot as well, sweeping the wall. Dozens of the small, lethal shot came whipping in through the embrasures, and more of Jonaire's gunners disappeared in gory sprays of blood, torn flesh, and shattered bone. Jonaire thrust himself back to his feet, charging into the midst of the chaos, shouting encouragement. He didn't know exactly what he was shouting, only that it was his duty to be there. to hold his men together in this hurricane of smoky thunder and savage destruction. They responded to his familiar voice, laboring frantically to reload their slow-firing guns while the Carizians slammed broadside after broadside into their position. One of the crenellations shattered under the impact of enemy shot. Most of the stone tumbled outward, crashing down the face of the battery into the water at its foot, but a head-sized chunk of it flew through the air and struck a man less than 6 feet from Jonaire. The gunner's blood erupted across the major, and he scrubbed at his sticky eyes, trying to clear them. He was still scrubbing at them when the incoming round shot struck him just below mid-chest.